then you're already thinking, well, I've made my name. Maybe there could be another time. And there was, but that was 4 years later. What do you do with your life during that time?
I formed my own real estate company at that time called the Walters Company, not too innovative. And I spent a little bit of time working with John Kennedy. John Kennedy had a real estate company, which is where I went immediately. But after about 6 months, I formed my own company and began managing properties. We served as trustee in bankruptcy on some properties because, of course, we were still in the bust. There was lots of properties going under. There were retirement centers. We developed a bit of a specialty in particularly these life-saving groups where they took all the savings from the elderly and then they went bankrupt. So these people, I had to tell, you know, the Golden Acres crowd in Enid that their savings were entirely gone and the place is bankrupt. I wound up finding a unique source of financing and went to the federal bankruptcy court and convinced them that if they would give me priority liens on the property, that I could get somebody, I'm going to pay a pretty good interest rate to someone to step in and keep these properties going so they didn't have to throw people out in the streets. It was pretty unusual. Very rarely had this been applied, but the federal court could not see themselves authorizing throwing penniless elderly people in the streets. So they gave me the right to put priority liens on the property and offer decent financing so I could continue to operate the properties and have an orderly sale of the properties, and that's exactly what happened. We did about three of those, and boy, talk about painful to tell people the circumstances, but the gratification of getting those projects done and allowing them to stay in there, including with the new buyers, was very gratifying.
Who do you tell now, I've been defeated, but I want to run again? Do you pick up the phone and say, you were a supporter in my first run, I'd like to hear from you again?
Yeah, I think the supporters of ours, I think there was not a crushing disappointment by the outcome of that election. I think everybody always thought this was a long shot. You're running against an icon, Henry Bellman, for God's sakes, and you beat poor Mike Turpin, who was an odds-on favorite to be the nominee, and then you almost beat Henry Bellman. In the betting world, I think most political activists would think, boy, this guy's probably going to get it done, you know, sooner or later. And so when we came back in a well-organized fashion, communicated well, I think, we had a lot of people come back on board quickly.
And then by that time, you're 39 years old. The people that were involved in the Democratic primary, Steve Lewis, Wes Watkins.
U.S. congressman at the time and long-serving congressman.
Had never, ever been defeated.
Never defeated. Right.
His oral history is in our library as well. And so when it came to the runoff, again, as you said, you always end up a runoff, it was you and Wes Watkins.
Right.
What were the issues there and what were the yin and the yang of that campaign?
Wes couldn't believe I was going to run again because he didn't run in 1986. And so he and Lou, his wife, came to see Rhonda and I in our corporate offices. They were just condescending enough that they meant well. They came to say, hey, we're going to run and I'm going to be elected. I'd love to have your support. And, you know, it'll just be a waste of time for you to run for governor. So let's all get together and kind of make this happen and work together and all that.
Because you hadn't announced yet.
I had not, I don't think.
So but he was just trying to stop
probably,
you.
He was probably hearing that I was. So he was doing what smart politicians, surviving politicians do, which is go try to knock down the opposition early. But there was just a tone about it that just made us all the more committed to getting in the race. And Wes was beloved in Little Dixie. I mean, huge level of support. And Steve Lewis, for God's sakes, was Speaker of the House, the Oklahoma House, which at that time was, of course, a majority of Democrats. And Steve had marshaled through the House Bill 1017, the major reform effort, working with Henry Bellman and Bob Cullison in the Senate. They basically got this really quite remarkable piece of educational reform through. Now, they left it to the next administration to fund half of it. It was a $1 billion deal. Imagine that. $1 billion would be a lot today, but in 1990, that was huge. So Steve Lewis was very formidable. Everybody in the education establishment was for Steve Lewis. So if you take Little Dixie out of the mix and you take all the educators out of the mix, that was a tough piece of work. So we set about our work to do this, but Wes was so overconfident about his role in this. Rhonda and I went to an event at Paul's Valley. everybody in the room was for Wes Watkins. Everybody had a Wes Watkins sticker on. Wes got up there and he said, me and Lou, I'm all about business. We're going to turn it on and we're going to turn the lights back on in Oklahoma. And he said, on my first date with Lou, I talked about business and turning the lights back on in Oklahoma. My first date, we made plans for the future of the state of Oklahoma. And he got down and they said, okay, we got a new guy from Oklahoma City. That's how, if you really wanted to cut somebody, you'd introduce him from Oklahoma City. You know, some guy from Oklahoma City who says he's running for governor, and let's hear from him. So I get up, I give my spiel, all these ideas and thoughts. And then I said, look, I've got a confession to make. On my first date with Rhonda Smith, and I pointed to her, she was there. On my first date with Rhonda, the last thing on my mind was building a better Oklahoma or business. The place just erupted. And and so I walked out of there with, I bet, half that audience. It just taught me something about don't ever cede anything to anybody, because, you know, a lot of people are there just by habit. So we prevail.
I suppose Wes became pretty full of himself because he had run so many times and had won all those elections that I'm going to run. I'm ready now.
It's his time. It was due.
It was his time.
It was owed, right. It was owed to him. And when he was defeated in that process, I think it's why he spun off to the Republican Party, which was sort of indicative that this was more about them than the values and the service of the Democratic Party, which is the case with many candidates, I'm sure.
And he also became an independent, I think, didn't he?
For a while.
So that he could jump around to win re-election again. So he was not loyal to the party, I guess, is what would be saying. So then you come down to that runoff and you beat him by just about 7,000 votes, the way I have it here.
In the runoff election. The interesting thing. There's one little story about this, which is another lesson, I think. Wes Watkins is attacking me for the home mortgage episode from 1986. And they're running intensive attacks and trying to make me sound corrupt. Doing a good job of that, frankly. You can't sit there and just take that. So I'm attacking Wes Watkins for various and sundry things. Steve Lewis is sitting there in the middle. And so anytime there's a third candidate and you've got two of them attacking each other, you're golden, because all Steve Lewis has to do is talk about education and teachers and all these other characters out here arguing back and forth. I'm going to rise above that. Steve is coming on pretty strongly. The night of that election, the primary election, we're really not sure what's going to happen. As it turns out, Wes is leading and I'm in second place. I'm going to beat Steve Lewis and get in the runoff. But we're really not quite certain, because it's very close with Wes. Literally, we couldn't meet anywhere for privacy. And I remember getting in a bathroom with four or five people. And I got in the bathtub because there wasn't any room. I'm sitting in a bathtub. You know, there's John Kennedy and Mike Sammis and a series of other advisors in there, crowded in this bathroom, trying to decide what to do, because we're coming up on 10 o'clock. We're coming up on announcement time. And somebody in the room said, just go down there and say you won. Just go down and say you won, because it was really close and we didn't know what the vote was. And it was so brilliant, because I go down there at the top of the hour while Wes is still trying to figure out the votes. I got behind that podium, and when the TV cameras went live, and I said, we won. Yeah, I've got a runoff, but we won. So I didn't say I'm ahead of him. By saying we won, that means I got in a runoff, but I didn't make that distinction, of course. And that was another huge deal, because the image that people had was that I had just beat this guy that had never been beat, you know. And so we went on to a vigorous, and we did have debates with Wes. I think those debates went well, and we prevailed in that election.
Yes, you did. And then it was the Republicans that were running their people, and Vince Orza, Bill Price, and Burns Hargis. Mm-hmm. And then the Republican runoff primary, and Bill Price defeats Vince Orza. You were watching all that. Was there any certain person you hoped you could be running against? They were basically unknown people across the state.
Yeah, I thought Burns Hargis was, you know, I to this day admire Burns. He's a brilliant guy and articulate and funny, and I was not looking forward to running against Burns, but Burns kind of flared out early. He introduced me one time, and he gave one of his characteristic, irascible kind of introductions of me. And I stood up and had remembered how much he'd spent. He spent a lot of money, some million plus or something, before he dropped out of the race, and divided out based on the number of votes he got. It turned out to be $20 or $25 a vote. I said, for Christ's sakes, if I had known you were paying $20 or $25 a vote, I would have voted for you. And so he flares out early. Vince is in it and fighting this good fight with Bill Price. But Bill Price was an establishment Republican candidate. I think he had picked up the folks. And he had this thing that worked great in the Republican primary to be against House Bill 1017. It killed him in the general election, but in the primary, he took that risk and campaigned hard against it and painted himself in a corner. And he wound up beating Vince Orza. Vince Orza wasn't amused by that. And at one point in the general election, invited me to his home. It wasn't really a fundraiser, but he invited me to his home to meet his campaign. I think they had a campaign gathering of staff. Well, it was obviously an act of treachery in the Republican Party, and then Vince later ran as a Democrat. But the race with Bill Price was just, you know, here was a guy, law and order, you know, solid Republican establishment. We weren't there yet as a state. Today, you know, Bill Price would be a really attractive candidate. But at that time, being anti-education and all the rest of that was not good. And I beat him like the redheaded stepchild at a family reunion, you know, 75 out of 77 counties.
Yeah, 57% for David Walters, Bill Price, 32%.